righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There is no peace without righteousness. Righteousness is obtained by right relationships between us and our Heavenly Father. And if those are right, then we can have right relationships to one another. But they are dependent, those relationships. You cannot have one without the other. Amen. You want to argue? They are joined together. Our relationship with Him give us right relationship to one another. And when these relationships are in place, then we can have peace. The whole world, I'm talking outside the church, you see, is looking for peace. That's why people drink. That's why people get involved in drugs. That's why people spend a lot of money doing this, that, and the other, because they're looking for something that they don't have. And the sad part about this is that it's so available. And before I go any further, I want to ask you to do pray for Linda and Christy Burley as they go to Vietnam. And of course, we'll be going to Mexico, but Vietnam is a fur piece. You ever hear old folks say that? It's a fur piece. And a different culture altogether, but God's blessings will go with them. So I want to review with you again this morning briefly and then pass on to something else. Out of the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, we've been there and you know that, but I want to just go through this and just talk about it one more time. It begins where Paul says in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again I say rejoice. Now we get so caught up with our problems, our concerns, that we fail to rejoice. Amen? Amen. And you so he says, rejoice in Thessalonians, in everything give thanks. Not for everything, but in everything give thanks. But this rejoice, he says, let your gentleness, that is your meekness, your kindness be known. Don't be anxious for anything. Now that is a hard step. You hear me? Well, Ned and I see it, the rest of you. Are you hearing me? Yes. Anxiety is part of our nature. If you are praying for a lost loved one, anxiety fills your heart and your soul if you're not real careful. We have such anxiety that we think the answer to our prayers depends on us. And it totally depends on Him. But this advice, wouldn't this be wonderful if we did it? Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And prayer is supplication, but prayer is often praise, thanksgiving, adoration. The greatest kind of prayer is that. But there are supplications. We do ask for things. We need things. Supplications come from the word supply. By prayers and supplications, he says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, this is the recipe for peace. Everybody, how many of y'all looking for peace? Yeah. Well, here it is. This is the recipe, just like I give you a recipe for a cake. Add this, do this, stir it up and bake it. Add this, prayer, supplication. Don't be anxious about anything, but make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And you know, the world doesn't understand. Your family may not understand the peace that you have. I remember, and this is silly and simple, but it happened. I remember closing the car door on this thumb. And have you ever done that? That's the stupidest thing anybody can do. But it happens. I've heard a half a dozen people since I just said, yeah, I did that too. Well, the blood just flew everywhere, you know, and it hurt so bad I could hardly stand it. But I had a visitation of peace. It came from above. I could tell it. It came from above. It was kind of like a mantle that fell on me. And sure enough, within 3 minutes, a friend of mine showed up who was coming to do some work for me. He showed up. So I didn't have to wait around a call, and I got to the emergency room. Now that's simple, but the peace of God, and I knew it. You see, I felt it. Have you ever felt it? Yes. Maybe a loved one passed away, and you knew that it was coming, and when it came, the peace that passes understanding. You see, they can't understand why you just aren't all upset about something. Well, I want to tell you something. You could get so upset that you might just fly off the handle and come all to pieces, and it would not change the situation. So the peace that passes understanding, he says, will guard your hearts. Peace will keep your heart good. Peace will keep your mind good. With guard and keep your mind. Let me mention this word again. Gentleness, meekness, kindness, softness of spirit. No hard-boiled, fussy criticisms, condemning. None of that will bring you any peace. The gentleness is what he is talking about here. We have two states of mind. We have a mind at peace or we have a mind at anxiety. And you can have either one you want if you want it badly enough to obey the scriptures. Everybody see that? Let your request be made known, as he says. Let me share with you right quickly here. Proverbs 23:7 says, "Keep your as a man thinks in his heart, so he is." See, whatever's in your heart is on display. You go to church, what's in your heart shows. You go to work, what's in your heart shows. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. How many of you have seen that printout? And you should have. And I need to give you more copies of it, I guess. And I have given away all the copies of the R-rated Passion of Christ. We've passed them out to. I've given away probably 150 copies. If you want it, we can get some more. You see, this is a very good instructional motto. Watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it determines your destiny. You need to put this on the refrigerator. You do, I do. I keep it where I can see it all the time. One of the best things I've ever seen in print. No, I don't, but I can get some. I give you this one because I have others. You see, we have the responsibility for this. We are our own instrument of peace. And like I say, it's a puzzle to the world. It may be a puzzle to your family. It may be a puzzle to your neighborhood. But I want to tell you this, one of the greatest witnesses that you can do, and you have every opportunity to do it, is be an instrument of his peace to your neighbors. Smile, greet, speak, share. And it will do a world of good wherever you are. Now this peace, and you won't have time to take these down, but this is really, really good. This peace is made up of four things. I copied it. It ain't original with me. It was so good. This peace is made up of a comforting sense of our reconciliation to God. We're comforted that we are reconciled. We're at peace with Him. It is the realization that God is interested in us. He loves us. This peace makes us realize that He cares about us. And the third thing is the hope of eternity with the Lord. That brings peace. That brings joy. That brings comfort. And you know what brings all of this now is obedience. We can't do our own thing, brothers and sisters. We have to do His thing. And the fourth one is the experience of joy that comes from the other three blessings. The experience of joy. Paul said, he wrote to the church at Corinth, you need to look, you know it's there, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "I have not seen, nor ear has heard, the wonders of the things that God has prepared for them that love Him." And this peace is one of the things that God has prepared for us. And we are so dumb, stupid, and foolish and blind when we forfeit this peace for the anxieties that we can't do anything about. But I have problems, don't you? And every once in a while I have to remind myself, now don't worry about that. You can't do anything about that. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Get your halos down now. We're all in this together. This peace is one of the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. And I know you love Him. The peace that comes. It's the kingdom of God. Righteousness. And you can't have the peace without righteousness now. And you can't have the joy without the righteousness and the peace. And we'll get into that. That is a powerful, powerful verse. I want to share with you this little phrase, grace and peace, grace and peace. It's in nearly all of the greetings of the New Testament epistles. I think all of them except Galatians. And Paul was really aggravated at the Galatians because they had stepped from the freedom of the gospel back into the bondage of the law, or are about to. But grace and peace. Chapter, let me see if I check my chapter, but I think it's chapter 3 of 1 Peter to look at for just a moment. But chapter 3, yes, of 1 Peter. Turn in your Bible so that you need to see this. If you'll read it fast, it's good. Read it loud and read it fast. Read it loud, John. I wanted to bring my Amplified Bible, but I didn't.
Defined as that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever that is, that peace is the peace that he's talking about.
That's beautiful. I would, you know, if I were, this were a public school situation or something where I were in a position to require it, I would require my students to have an Amplified Bible. You don't need a commentary with an Amplified Bible, friends. It is absolutely wonderful. I've been tempted to put my King James aside and teach out of it. I wore one out teaching out of it. But it is absolutely wonderful. Like from John 3:16, he said, you know, well, I believe in Jesus. But you may be the worst heathen in the world. Yeah, I believe, yeah. Well, let me tell you what it means. It means he who believes, John 3:16, he who believes in, trusts in, relies on, and adheres to the Son of God.
Amen.
You believe, you trust, you rely, you depend, and you adhere. That means you stick to him.
Yeah,
so it's an amplification, and it's the nearest thing to the original Greek. I don't know anything about Greek. Most of you don't either, but I know that that's what the publicity says about the Amplified Bible, and it certainly does explain a whole lot of good stuff. Thank you, John. 1 Peter chapter 3, and it's so, there's so much here, but verse 8, call to blessing. Finally, he says, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. See, that's a need. Love as brothers, and that's a need. Be tender-hearted and be courteous. You know, courtesy is almost something that's almost disappeared from the average American scene. And you can be courteous. When you go to the grocery store, you're going to always have an opportunity to show some courtesy. You can open the door for someone. You can help someone. You can let someone with three items. You see, most of the time, they don't have but one person checking out during the day. Have you noticed that? Have you? Right. Because they need to cut expenses. Okay? You may have 14 items, maybe more. Behind you is someone with two. Would it hurt you to say, would you like to be next? Courtesy is a gift, friend. Be kind-hearted, tender-hearted toward one another. I'm talking to you about peace now. I'm going to get to my peace here. Not returning evil for evil. Don't ever, 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 ever be guilty of saying, I'll get even with them. It's the last thing I'll do. They ain't going to treat me like that. You've had thoughts just that mean. But God's forgiven us. Don't return reviling for reviling. But, on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this and that you may inherit a blessing. Now, verse 10 and 11 and 12 are all quotes from Psalm 34. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Boy, it got quiet in here. You know, every unkind word we speak is an instrument of evil. All of our complaining, and I have problems with that. I see things I don't like, you know, and I'm so generous with my opinions. We all are. But you know, every time we gripe, murmur, criticize, complain, or condemn, we are being a negative for the gospel of peace. Did you hear what I said? Those are negative influences against the God of peace, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace and God is Jehovah Shalom. How many of you are so glad he's not through with us? It's of his mercy that we're not consumed. That's right. The Bible says that. His mercies are new every morning. And the first thing when we pray is that we should say, Lord, forgive us for every unkind thing, every unkind thought, everything I did, thought, or said yesterday that was displeasing to you.
Amen.
I'm serious, friends.
Jen, we can also do that with a gesture.
Oh, yes. You don't have to open your mouth to do any of these things. This is a good point. You can show criticism, hate, all kinds of ill out of your eyes. There's so much for us to learn and do, isn't it? But there again, thank God for his mercy. The little song Bill Gates and those things, he is still working on me. Took him just a week to make Jupiter and Mars and all the stars, but he's still working on me. Aren't you glad? And you see, the thing we have to do is let him work on us. Let him work in us and let him work through us so that others may see that our light's shining.
Yeah.
See, that's your great witness. Let your light shine. I didn't say it. Jesus said it.
Amen.
Let others see your good works. Now, you're not saved by good works, but you are always working. Your head, your heart, your thoughts, your hands, your body, you're always doing something. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, those works that you're doing must be classified as good works instead of evil works. Hallelujah. Let me continue here. Let him turn away from evil and do good, and let him seek peace. Now, this is what I wanted to get to out of Psalm 34. Let him seek peace. That's verse 11, and that's Psalm 34, verse 14. It's there. I checked it out. Don't you love it when the New Testament quotes the Old Testament? Because, you see, Paul didn't have a clue. Peter didn't have a clue. John didn't have a clue that they were writing the Bible.
That's right.
You know, do you ever think about this? They didn't have a copy of it to refer to. And we ought to be ashamed that we've got so many copies that we don't refer to it any more than we do. And when we do refer to it, it goes in here and out here, and you just say, well, oh, well, I've got to get busy. Joe understands what I'm talking about. You understand what I'm talking about? You see, we have so many wonderful blessings. You know, what I said a while ago about offending you, let me say this. If I'm wrong, tell me. You have an opportunity to go to Sunday school, church, Bible study, Christian gathering, and you don't want to go. You don't see any reason to go. Doesn't mean anything to you. Do you realize that the privilege of gathering together for worship, prayer, praise, or study is a great, great blessing?
Amen.
And that if we don't take advantage of those blessings, we are cheating ourselves. Now, you can't go to everything. I know that. You can't go to everything. But I know people who just will not make a move to go to any kind of, and they call themselves Christians. But let me tell you something. A Christian gathering is a blessing because there's a hand that you can touch.
Thank you, Father.
There's a person who understands.
Yes.
There's a heart that will rejoice.
Uh-huh.
There is a heart that will mourn. enter into sympathy for you. I'm talking to you about righteousness and peace in the Holy Spirit. It's what we're all about, friends.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom is where Jesus, well, a kingdom is where a king rules.
Uh-huh.
And the kingdom of God is the body of people where Jesus Christ is king. And you know in Revelation it says he is King of kings, Lord of lords, forever. Forever. It will never change. Look at 1 Peter 5, 14. Greet one another with a holy kiss of love. Peace be to all of you who are in Christ Jesus. If you claim to be in Christ Jesus, then you should have this peace. And you know in Eastern cultures, and you still see it on television, they greet one another with a kiss of love. Men, men, women, women, whoever, greet one another with a kiss of love. And that, we see so much of that in our own churches, and we enjoy that love and that mutual affection. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, right quickly. Oh, this is so rich. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, he says, therefore, beloved, and the reason why that therefore is there is because of what the verses before it say. Therefore is a very interesting word. You've heard me say this before 1,235 times. It's in the King James Bible, and it's because something is true, something results from what is true. Now, verse 10 through 13 there, talk about the new heaven and the new earth. How many of you realize that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth?
Amen.
Wherein dwelleth righteousness, it says here. That's worth shouting about, isn't it? Wherein dwelleth righteousness. There won't be any meanness. There won't be any unrighteousness. There won't be any hate. There won't be any wickedness. There won't be anything but love and righteousness. I don't know anything about golden streets and all of that. Those are figures of speech. But I'll tell you, there is a promised blessing of eternity with him, and this is what this is all about. And you want it, don't you? You plan to make it, don't you? All right, listen to that therefore. Got your name on it. You can put your name right there. Beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace. Boy, that's big, isn't it? Does anybody besides me see the bigness of that?
Amen.
The word diligent is something that the church needs so badly.
That's it.
We may deem to be diligent to pray, diligent to study, diligent to love. Diligent means do it now. Do it the best you can. Don't put it off. Did you hear me? Do it now. Don't put it off. Do it the best you can. And the opposite of diligence is laziness and slothfulness. I've told you about the story about the sloth. There's an animal called the sloth. I saw one time. And I'll tell you what, it took that thing the longest time to go from one limb to another. My friend I was visiting in in the Panama Canal Zone said, look, June, she said, yonder's a sloth. Well, the Bible opened up all. I said, yes, sir, that's just the way it is. We don't ever get in a hurry. We just go when we can. We need to be diligent. Do it now. Do it on time. Do it the best you can. My mother used to say, well, if you ain't going to do it right this time, when are you going to have time to do it again? And she would tell me stuff like that about scrubbing the kitchen floor, you know, or scrubbing the back steps. I'd go slash a little water on it, you know, and most of the dirt and mud that had been trapped in and out was still there. We lived very primitively in those days. And she'd tell me, I just do it halfway, you know, and then she taught me to be diligent. And I'm glad, because whatever I do, I really try to do it the best I can.
Amen.
It ain't always just that good. But I realized that Christianity, friends, should be the most diligent endeavor of our lives. But what he says there is even more important than just getting there. He says, be diligent to be found in him in peace. In peace. Everybody sees that? Your Bible say that? You see, if you're not found in Him in peace, you may not inherit the new heavens and the new earth. I know that sounds hard, but because there is a new heaven and a new earth, you better be at peace.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
That's what this says, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah.
Help me out now.
Amen.
If I'm wrong, you correct me. I'd rather die than teach you anything out of the Bible that's not biblical. Did you hear what I said? That is a terrible thing for somebody to teach you something that's not biblical. Be at peace, without spot, and blameless. Now that's the way Paul describes the church in Ephesians. He said he's coming after a pure church, without spot, or wrinkle, or blemish, or any such thing. That's Ephesians. So, looking for this new heaven and this new earth, we need to be found in Him in peace. Blameless.
Thank you, Lord.
Without spot.
Yeah.
You say, well, how am I going to do that? Well, the Holy Ghost is a spot remover.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is a sharp knife to cut the blemishes off. Amen?
Amen?
See, if we're led by the Spirit, then we're the sons of God. And if we're led by the flesh, we're the sons of the world.
Amen.
See, we cannot cater to the flesh. The flesh wants to get even. The flesh wants you to beat them up.
That's right.
The flesh wants you to keep your money. Don't give your money. You don't have to do anything. But see, if you're led by the Spirit, then you're going to do what the Spirit says. And the Spirit says, be at peace with all people. And Jesus, man, He messed us up real good when He told us we had to pray for our enemies. And pray for those that despitefully use you. It's in the Bible, friends. We can't compromise that. If we can't love our friends, how in the name of common sense can we love our enemies? You know, the world, the neighborhoods, the people that we associate with, they see so much of the world in us that we don't talk or act any differently from the rest of the people. And that is an insult and an affront to the Holy Spirit. Because I tell you what, I could shout from here to New Orleans when I think about what Jesus said in John 14. He said, He that is with you is going to be in you.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that Paul could say, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And consider that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. And also his brother, our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. And then he goes on to say some of the stuff that Paul wrote is hard to understand. That's what it says in the next verse. And some of the stuff that Peter wrote is hard to understand. But there is nothing hard to understand about love the Lord and love one another. And that would take care of all the things that we're talking about. See, right relationships has to come. We have to come. You know, Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you.
Yes.
That's in Luke's gospel. That's in Mark's gospel. The kingdom of God is within you. I don't have to look that up. I've got it here, but I'm hurrying. The kingdom of God is within you.
Amen.
And then when a young Pharisee came and he asked Jesus what was the greatest commandment. This is not Matthew. I think this is in Mark. And the Pharisee said, the love of the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and your neighbor yourself. And Jesus said, you're not far from the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So it's no great big thing that we have to search out. It's really, really very simple. Do you want peace? Well, you can have it. But the recipe's in the Bible. Only the true church, you see, has the peace. The true church has the peace. If you're in the church and you're always unhappy, fussing, complaining, unloving, you don't have a peace. And your light ain't shining. I knew if I said ain't, you'd listen. Your light isn't shining when we have these bad attitudes. And Paul says, as far as within you lies the ability, be at peace with all men. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow after peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. I know you don't like to hear that because you don't understand holiness, but it's simple. It's not how long your dress is or how long your hair is. God does require modesty.
Oh, amen.
Nudity is a sign of sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened in the garden, you know. That's what happened when they were given the law. They had a big celebration down there. And there was nakedness.
Uh-huh.
Modesty is required. Modesty and decency are not an option. But it does not matter. Jewelry doesn't matter. Hello?
Uh-huh.
Fabric doesn't matter. Holiness is a lifestyle of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
To the Word of God. That's a good definition, isn't it? Don't you think that's a good definition? See, Jesus came to bring abundant life, peace. My peace, he said, I give to you. The peace of reconciliation. The peace of forgiveness. The peace of loving one another. The peace of obedience. I want you, before we leave this, we have maybe 2 minutes. I want you to look back, way back in one in the Old Testament. We won't finish it, but I want to just get you hungry for it. At the 52nd chapter of Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. Now look at it, because you know where Isaiah is, I think. This is one of the most beautiful scriptures in all the Bible. Yes, sir. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who proclaims glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. You see, Zion is where God lives. Psalm 132 says that. God has chosen Zion for his habitation. Zion is one of the most beautiful words. And there is a Mount Zion. There is a place called Zion. Many, many times in the Bible, Jerusalem is called Zion because Jerusalem was where it all happened. And Jerusalem is highly honored. But we know that God doesn't dwell in Jerusalem, that God dwells in his people. But still in all, those places are honored, and Zion is where God lives, and you have come to Mount Zion, we read in Hebrews. But now think about this. There are five beautiful words in that verse. Good news, everybody likes it.
Amen.
Peace, we all need it. Glad tidings, no sad tidings. Good things, not evil things. And salvation. Aren't those the most beautiful words? We could talk a week about each one of them. Joy-filled, happy words. And you know why? All of it is because our God reigns. And if God reigns in you, with you, and through you, then you can have this verse in its fullness. Now, it hadn't anything to do with feet, but it said that in the Old Testament there wasn't a whole lot of communication, you know, no email and no telephones and all that kind of stuff. So when a battle was won, now listen to me, when a battle was won, the messengers would go on foot to tell all the troops, everybody they found, that there was victory, that they had won the battle. Can you get a picture of that?
Yes.
Now, most commentators say that this particular verse is not related to any one particular event, but it is a general explanation and exhortation of the prophet Isaiah to God's people to let them know that God reigns.
Thank you, Lord.
And that the messengers, and that's you now, you can declare with your mouth and with your life that God reigns.
Yes.
You can declare with your life and your mouth that the devil reigns.
Uh-huh.
Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you.
Yeah.
Resist the devil, and he'll flee away from you.
Uh-huh.
Our God reigns. Now, you say, well, why doesn't he do something about all of this? Evil men will wax worse and worse. That's Bible too.
Yeah.
Jesus said there'd be wars and rumors of wars. in all kinds of different places, and then will come the end.
Uh-huh.
So we just, you know, we can't say that it's going to stop all the wars, because it's not. But let me tell you something good, and I'm going to dismiss you with this because we're over time. Our God reigns, and if he didn't, the devil and the forces of hell would kill the church before daylight. I thought that'd excite you. The devil hates the church. The forces of darkness hates the light of the gospel. But because our God reigns, we are alive. We are rejoicing. We're going to take it to the uttermost parts of the world. Hallelujah. Thank God for the good word. Our God reigns. And the feet of bring that has nothing to do with feet, but I'm telling you, when you see a messenger with good news, he looks good, doesn't he? Hallelujah. Well, God bless you.